Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, just imagine for a moment if this service began with someone greeting you at the door as you walked in, greeting you with a jolly voice, "Merry Christmas!" And then the service opened up with the singing of with us each singing to each other, "We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas," things like that. Now, I doubt that many of us would be too impressed. And no wonder. No wonder for a couple of reasons. First of all, this too is a worship service. We're here to worship God. And secondly, the reality is this, and we might as well face it, for many, Christmas is a specially difficult time of year. So much appears, so much feels so shallow, and that shallowness can irritate. For many, Christmas time is a time of disappointment. So much hype, so little substance. There might be family gatherings, might not even be that, but even then there's empty spots. Loved ones are missing. There's strained relationships, and typically then they're poignantly felt. And then getting specifically to Christmas 2020, the civil governments have forbidden large festive gatherings. Today is the last day before what will be at least a month of lockdown. And tied in with all this, of course, many of us have heard about the talk of the Great Reset. And that Great Reset talk has concerning, very concerning overtones to it. And on this Christmas day, let's turn our eyes, our attention, to a poor, destitute widow, Anna. Anna was not a shallow widow. Anna did not have an easy life. Her life was one long life of lamentation, crying out to God for help for all her life long, for very practical help. But you know, when Christmas arrives, something most remarkable happens. A new tune rises from her lips, a tune specially inspired to give true joy and cheer for those waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, those both of back then, those also of today. I may proclaim God's word, the gospel of Christmas, this Christmas day under this theme, "With the arrival of Christmas, an old destitute widow sings a new tune." We'll see two things. First of all, the person of Anna, and secondly, her new tune. Last time, then, we looked at Simeon. Luke, the gospel writer, introduced us to Simeon. And Simeon, we saw, was one of the Old Testament prophets who was given a very special privilege. He was told that he would not die until his eyes had seen the long-awaited Messiah. And when this Simeon, when he held baby Jesus in his arms, he knew it. This is it. And on behalf of all the Old Testament prophets, he cried out also to us today, this is the salvation. This is the salvation that all the Old Testament prophets have looked forward to. This is the salvation that even that great rescue out of Egypt only faintly foreshadowed. This is the beginning of nothing less than the new creation. This is the answer to each and every single problem and hardship in life, not just for Israel, but for all nations, not just back then, but also for all times. Right then, as Simeon is prophesying, an old woman arrives on the scene. And the gospel writer Luke, he introduces her as Anna. Now, significantly, this is the Greek of the Hebrew Hannah. She's a prophetess. That's a very important detail. We'll get back to that later. She's the daughter of Phanuel. Now, we know very little about Phanuel. But what is striking in this phrase is that Anna is not called the wife or the widow of so-and-so, but rather the daughter of so-and-so, even though she's been married for 7 years. Again, we'll get back to that too. She's of the tribe of Asher. Now, that's not exactly a prominent tribe in Israel. If I asked the children here to name the 12 tribes, or let's say two or three of them, then most probably wouldn't mention Asher right away. Now, Asher's a tribe that has, you could say, a rather sad history. One of the northern tribes. And Asher was one of those tribes that did not drive out the Canaanites, but instead allowed the Canaanites to live with them. Judges 1. And in the campaign of Deborah and Barak, Asher decided to stay at home and not join in the battle. Later on, King Solomon gave the territory of Asher away to the king of Tyre as payment. Asher became one of what was known as the Lost Tribes. It was almost completely overrun with the fall of the northern kingdom. Indeed, Asher became part of that land of deep darkness that Isaiah prophesies about. Now, there is an interesting development in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, regarding Asher. By that time, the northern kingdom had been taken into exile. And shortly after Hezekiah becomes king in Judah, he's a godly king. What he does, he invites all Israel to a Passover celebration. Also those left in the northern kingdom. And then we find this note in 2 Chronicles 30. So the couriers went from city to city. These are couriers from King Hezekiah announcing the celebration of the Passover. They went from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. However, some men of Asher, of Manasseh and of Zebulun, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Now, it could very well be that the humble background of Anna and Phanuel is found here in this note. And therefore, though Anna was part of God's people, God's covenant people, she was not of notable or prominent or promising lineage within that people. And she was advanced in years, literally having been advanced many days. That's quite emphatic. Zechariah and Elizabeth, too, they were advanced in years as well, but the language suggests that Anna was advanced even more. Luke adds, she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. Now notice how the ESV has a footnote there. You could just as well translate, having lived with her husband 7 years, and then as a widow 84 years. So assuming that she got married in her early teens, which was quite common in those days, she would have been over 100 years old. Indeed, having been advanced many, many days, far away from the prime of life, way beyond the time of vigor and strength and energy. So many, many years ago then, this woman, she got married. And especially in those days, marriage was considered a huge blessing. Young, godly women, they desired to get married, also and particularly in order to raise up children. And not just to experience raising up children, but to, in this way, as godly women, build up the nation of Israel. That's God's special nation in this world, God's special nation that He had put there to establish His kingdom in this world. Think of how Rebekah is blessed by her family as she goes off to become the wife of Isaac. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him." So Anna was married for 7 years, but no children. And that would have plunged her as a young woman, a young godly woman, into depth of grief. Here again we can think of Hannah, her Old Testament namesake. The Lord closed Hannah's womb, and Hannah wept bitterly. When she came to the festivals in Jerusalem, she could not rejoice. The grief was so deep, the burden so heavy, that it drove her to make a vow, a radical vow. She said, "O Lord God Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever be used in his head." Now we know what eventually happened with Hannah. The Lord heard her prayer. The Lord opened her womb. The Lord changed the depth of her sorrow to the height of joy. And she sang, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted up." We read that. She became the mother of Samuel, who would play a very key role in the establishing of the kingdom. And later on, she also had other sons and daughters. But that's not how it went with Anna. She was barren for 7 years. And then her husband died. And here that phrase, "daughter of Phanuel," is so significant. Not wife or widow of whoever her husband was, but daughter of Phanuel. Which means that after losing her husband, she must have returned to her father's house as a barren widow. Her husband had no brother who could raise up seed through her and thus would ensure that she could still be part of the building up of God's people Israel. Instead, she was a destitute widow for 84 years. Perhaps for some of those years her father cared for her, but in due time he too died. And then there was no one. Then especially, she became a widow truly in need, completely living at the mercy of others. There were not the support programs like we have today. One who did not at all seem of really any value for the building up of God's kingdom anymore. And what did this push her to do? Of course, not everyone reacts exactly the same, but undoubtedly, she would have struggled with bitter disappointment. She would have shed many tears. She would have wrestled to come to terms with these heavy burdens placed upon her. And why? So what did this push her to do? Perhaps a better question to ask is this. What did the Lord thereby drive her to do? And you find the answer in verse 37. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night, or night and day. And again, there's a remarkable resemblance here to Hannah. If Hannah poured out her soul, especially at the tabernacle, Anna did so all the more at the temple. Hannah, she came every festival again weeping, but Anna did not depart from the temple. Not that she lived there or something like that. Rather, she attended all the services there. She was there worshiping all the time. And not only did she worship, but she was worshiping passionately. She was continually, year after year, day after day, pleading to the Lord for mercy, for help. Now just imagine for a moment, coming up to old Anna and saying, "Okay, Anna, isn't that enough now? After all these years, Anna, can you please, for once, worship and sing a new tune, one that's not so somber, one that's more upbeat?" Who would expect this old, destitute widow to ever change her tune? Now, we need to keep in mind here, both with respect to Hannah in the Old Testament and Anna in the New, they both were women of faith. And this meant that though they wept about their own personal hardships in life, these women, they were not self-absorbed. They did not become self-absorbed women. Hannah, she understood that her barrenness was indicative of how things were not well with God's people. That's clear also from the song that she later on sings that we read from. Take verse 10. She sings there. Remember, she's giving thanks for the birth of Samuel. She sings there, "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." You see, Hannah, she did not just want children in order to have children, but rather she wanted children that God's anointed would come. The same would have counted for Anna. She cried about her own life, her own lot in life, but saw that as part of how God's people had been brought so low in this world. She pleaded day and night for the redemption of Jerusalem, verse 38. With Simeon, she longed for the promised consolation of Israel, verse 25. "Lord, when will that Son of Righteousness come that will usher in a new day for your entire people of Israel, indeed for this world, a new day also for me personally." So that's what the Lord drove her to do. And he drove her to do that with passion, year after year. And as a result, Anna became a fixture, you could say, at the temple. People would have known her. She's always there. And here we come back to the fact that she was also a prophetess, a female prophet. Now, what was the role of a female prophet in Israel? Now, just because one was a prophetess or even just a prophet does not mean that they always received revelation from the Lord. In fact, we know that after Malachi, the Lord was silent for 400 years. And yet a prophet or a prophetess, they knew the word of God, and they had some kind of teaching role regarding this word of God. And through Anna then, the Lord taught his people, particularly those humbly waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. "My people, see in Anna in what she does and how she prays, see how to deal with the current hardships in humility as my people Israel. See how to handle deeply personal struggles and hardships and burdens. See in Anna how to wait on the Lord in these kind of situations, how not to give up. You see, today too, in our circumstances today as well, we should still listen to Anna and watch her, as it were, instructing us. Now, when it comes to someone serving as a prophetess in Israel, you don't find many of these in Scripture. But there are some notable examples. And one notable example is Miriam, the sister of Moses. You know, after the destruction of the Egyptians in the Red Sea, then the prophet Moses, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, he leads Israel in singing, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." And that song, if you go to Exodus 15, you can see that. That song goes on for quite a few verses. And then we get verse 20 and 21, where we read this. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing, and Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Now, a remarkable pattern emerges here. Do you see it? You see, as Miriam the prophetess chimes in after Moses and therefore serves to confirm the words of Moses to the people, so Anna the prophetess chimes in after Simeon to confirm his words. And what happens? Verse 38. Just when Joseph and Mary come into the temple with the baby Jesus, and just as the prophet Simeon completes his marvelous song on behalf of the Old Testament prophets, there comes Anna, old Anna. Verse 38, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God. Being at the temple day and night, Anna would have known Simeon. And more, she would have known how the Lord had said to Simeon, had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And under the guidance of the Spirit, she would have known what was going on when she saw Simeon there, looking up to God in prayer, with depth of emotion, saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." See, as Miriam chimed in behind Moses, so now Anna chimes in behind Simeon. And notice, after all those years of pleading and crying, she suddenly sings a new tune. And that brings us to our second point. When he holds that child in his arms, Simeon cannot help but look up to heaven and sing to God. Same thing happens with Anna. Verse 38, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God. Before, her worship was always one of fasting and prayer. But seeing this child, hearing Simeon, knowing just who this child is, she breaks out in thanksgiving. And this was not just a momentary breaking out either. She did not just do this when Simeon was there and then revert back to prayer and fasting when he left. No, the tense in the original, that indicates continuity. There was a change, and that change persisted, and this would not have gone unnoticed. And here again, we need to keep in mind that the Lord raised up Anna as a prophetess. Indeed, he raised her up to yet serve as one of his spokesmen, particularly for those who were waiting, humbly waiting, for the promised redemption of Jerusalem. Just as the Lord raised up Simeon as that prophet that would finally sound the trumpet that the Messiah had finally come, so the Lord raised up Anna, putting her through all those years of sorrow and hardship in order to announce in a very poignant way to his humble people, in a powerful, a comforting, a gripping, a tender way, "My people, behold this child." The Lord put her through all this so that she would be able to serve, you could say, to echo the Old Testament prophets as they leave the stage and thus drive home, "Behold this child," and break out in thanksgiving. No matter how destitute you are, break out in thanksgiving. No matter how hopeless your situation may seem to be, break out in thanksgiving. Truly, in this child is the answer to all your petitions. He is the balm for all your sorrows. He is the one who wipes away all your tears, tears of infertility, tears of disappointment as to how your lives have gone, tears of sorrow with seeming to have no role, no place in building up the kingdom of God, at least no important place, tears associated with the loss of a spouse, with the breakup of your marriage, with living in loneliness, tears associated with the infirmities of old age, tears connected with the sad state of God's people in this world. You see, through Anna, the Lord tenderly reaches out to his languishing people. "Oh, my people, see and understand. I know your tears. I know your sorrows, your disappointments. I know your limitations. And I have brought the solution, Jesus Christ. And see, my people, how I have used even all the hardships and the destitution of Anna in the service of my kingdom, whose king is now here." Beloved, ponder Christmas. And look at Anna, and let a new song rise up in your hearts as well. Will we languish forever? No. Will the coronavirus always be around? No. Will infertility or loneliness or marginalization become those things that characterize my life forever? No. What about marriage problems and marriage struggles? No. What about persecution? No. Rather, even these things, and even our tears that come out of these things, this child will yet use to bring redemption, renewal, indeed in due time, depth of joy that cannot be tainted. And therefore, beloved, let me say it again. Let a new song rise up in your hearts. And yes, I know that can be hard. But again, look at Anna. whom our God tenderly holds before us today. Listen to her new tune. See her old wrinkled face suddenly glowing with this very deep smile. And see of whom she now speaks. She's looking at that baby. And see how the arrival of that baby in the arms of Simeon, the Son of God, that's what changes her tune. She knows in him is all the healing of my people. In him is the answer to all my sorrows as well. And Mike and Nadine, also as you look with eyes of love into the face of your son Josiah, which I'm sure you do, think of Anna looking at baby Jesus. And more yet, hear our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Hear him too, looking at Josiah as it were, and then signing and sealing, Josiah, you too, you belong to me. You belong to my kingdom. Beloved, it's moving. Even Anna now sings with joy. Amen.